What's going on, Black Baseball Mixtape family? This is another edition of In the Booth. Flobo Boyce here, hanging out with you. The season's rocking and rolling. I don't know about you, but I'm playing fantasy baseball. As of this recording, I have 2 wins out of 2 attempts. I'm batting 1,000. Are you doing fantasy? Now let us know if you are. If you have any tips, I would definitely appreciate any and all help, because I usually stop playing fantasy around this time where I drop 2 games and I go, all is lost, but I've never had so much good fortune at once. Before we get into today's episode, I give a big shout out to Stilo Media, Herencia 21, the Players Alliance, everyone making this show and the Black Baseball Mixtape possible. You guys have done so much for the brand, so much what we're trying to do, and there's more to be done. Today, I have a very special guest. I know the phrase special guest is something that gets overused in podcast land, but this one is special to me. Mia from Black Girls Love Baseball decided to lean headfirst into her love of the Atlanta Braves and baseball in general. And in doing that, launched a platform to share a perspective on the game in hopes to saying, hey, look, we love the game as well. The content's fun, it's engaging, and even though I have a small New York Mets bias, I can put that aside for top tier content. So being able to chat with Mia was fun, and I hope you enjoy it too. Talk about her background, how she got into the game, her favorite things to do at the park, Truist Park, and more. You're gonna love it. In the meantime, though, if you're listening to this and you wanna drop a little review, or if you're on that Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please do 5 stars in a review. Helps us to realize what's good and what we can work on to make this an even better podcast. I mean that in the bottom of my heart. I love the game of baseball. I love the fact that I get to contribute to baseball in a positive way, but your feedback is worth its weight in platinum. All right, enough further ado, my chat with Mia from Black Girls Love Baseball. Ladies and gentlemen, Black Baseball Mixtape family, Flobo Boyce here. We're once again back in the booth talking with people who love the great sport of the diamond, baseball. You know what I'm talking about? And even though I'm a Mets fan and my guest is a fan of the Atlanta Braves, we're going to make it work. Please welcome me here from Black Girls Love Baseball. Thanks so much for being on the show here today.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. And look, I should be the one that is offended after that game last night, especially after how those Mets fans treated me on live. But anyways, yeah, y'all are the worst. And how they treated us walking out of the park. This man had the nerve to ask if we wanted to go to his website and get some Mets posters or something, just like heckling us as we walked out of the park.
I have you know that you have not lived until you walk the streets of Queens and see people doing chops on the street. That is that's warfare.
I'm very fearful right now of going to traveling to other ballparks. I said I wanted to do all 30, but yeah. I'm a little nervous right now after doing Minute Maid and Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
I'm like, the Phillies fans told me don't come. And they said, right. I don't wear any Braves gear. So.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
You got to do all 30. You know, I feel like you do it out of defiance.
Look,
I've only felt comfortable in one baseball park, and it was an Atlanta Braves game and Texas Rangers at Arlington. That was the only time I was like, I don't think I belong here. But other than that, it's so much fun to go to all 30.
I swear, in Truist Park, any fans can feel comfortable and safe and have a good time. Like, Braves fans are so welcoming to everybody. That's why I kind of expected the same thing to go. I promise you, we are welcoming. We are so welcoming. It's that I've never seen Braves fans like heckle other fans or like in the park, like as a whole. Like, we are nice to them. I swear we are. And you go to any other ballpark? No.
Yeah.
No.
I give a lot of these Midwestern teams are kind of open. I think Milwaukee was cool. Colorado was cool. I guess my problem with Truist Park, that's actually my first question. So Truist Park was built a couple of years ago. It's out in the area called the Battery. I had the chance to do the ballpark tour a week and a half ago as I record this. It was a cool park. Loved it. But it didn't feel like it was in Atlanta. It felt like I was in another city altogether because it was way out of the city core. Was that a problem when that was built? It was kind of, do you feel comfortable walking through the Battery knowing it was like built like Disneyland, or I'm just overthinking it?
Okay, so I personally love the Battery. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love the way they did the whole layout. Now, as far as it being so far outside of the city, it's really about 15 to 17 minutes outside the city, if we're being like perfectly. And it's technically still in the city of, like, the address is still Atlanta. But I did get, you know, the historical aspect and some of the reasoning behind why they moved it. We can't get into all the details my personal thoughts on why they moved it. But, you know, I understood people being a little upset. And like I said, the historical factor, I mean, but at the end of the day, you know, change needs to happen, you know, and with time, there's always going to be some change. And I do feel like they definitely upgraded the space as far as the quality of everything that we're getting now, and literally physical space, because having it in downtown Atlanta, very much congested, parking a nightmare. Not that parking is, you know, just a breeze now, but I love it. I personally love it. And I do think that they considered a lot of things when they made that move, and they essentially made the right move.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the park itself is very nice, and the indoor museum is actually one you suggest if you do the ballpark tour. I suggest doing Truist Park if you have the chance. But it's not about ballpark tours. Let's talk about the brand. Now, Black Girls Love Baseball is on TikTok. It's on Instagram. It's growing. Did it already hit your expectations? Like, what was the original plan when you decided to say, you know what, I'm taking this to social?
Well, it definitely far exceeded my expectation. Now, when I originally started it, it was just like, you know, a fun little thing that I wanted to do because I wanted to create content. And I saw literally one video that said you should create content around something you love. And it was super easy to pick doing baseball. And so I just jumped right in. Now, people's response to it is what really caught me off guard. Like, people were so excited from the very first post I did on TikTok that it was like, okay, you know, maybe this is something special, I guess, you know, I don't even know what other word to use, but maybe this is really something special because so many people have said, this is what we've needed for a long time. The culture really needs this, stuff like that. So that's what really kind of ignited the train of me just like I said, first it was just like a little, oh, you know, whenever I, you know, feel like whenever I pop into a game, you know, I'm going to do a recap and da da da. Now it's like, I have to stay on top of everything going on in the baseball world, especially in Braves country. It's just like, it's a train now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how do you go about like picking out what is going to be worthy for your page? Like sometimes I see the ballpark edit, etiquette video, see the core videos. Like how do you go, oh, this is going to be right for the content pieces?
Well, so basically I do try to like take into account everything that baseball means to me, how I feel at the ballpark, stuff that really affects me at the ballpark. So I recently got into giving the page a voice, so more being heard than seen, like I was just talking about earlier. But yeah, so I got on camera and, you know, just talking about my personal experience, my personal opinions on, you know, this and that going on in the baseball world, as to where last season it was more of just like showing the beautiful stadium or all the cool outfits or, you know, and bobbleheads and things like that. So how I really choose if it's worthy or not, I guess if it just feels important at the time, especially like with baseball etiquette, I felt like it was necessary because some people just do not have any ballpark etiquette when they're at the ballpark. They really don't. And I'm like, we need to actually, I just went to our first official game of the season last night versus the Mets. It was a great game, we're not going to get into that. Whatever.
Please get into it because you actually won one for a change.
No, I'll get
it. It never happens in Atlanta. Come on.
I swear I'm still trying to recover right now. But even, yeah, like I said, so last night getting back into the ballpark, it was just like, oh my God, people in the sitting in the wrong seats and people jumping up in the middle of a play and all this stuff. It's like, oh my God. Like, you people need to know. But, you know, everybody is not a seasoned fan, and I do have to remember that. Like, some people, this is their first time, or they're not even a fan at all. They're just here with a friend. So.
Right.
Well, you know,
can I ask you about your first experiences? Well, you were a person that went to the park first and became a fan, or you're watching on TV and going, I got to go to a game to confirm the fandom. Like, what was your mix?
Definitely at the park. So definitely 10 years ago, my boyfriend at the time, my now husband, he was super into baseball, took me to games. I was like, okay, I'm trying to feel the vibe. It seems cool. It seems relaxed. I don't really know what's going on in the game. I used to ask a million questions, which was probably extremely annoying. I'm not going to lie. But I mean, I had to learn, you know, somehow. And so once I combined the chill, relax, because I'm a chill, relax. I used to be a party girl. I turned into a chill, relaxed, you know, just want a fun vibe, you know, and found that there. And then combined it with actually learning the sport and understanding the strategy and all that goes into it. It just was like a match made in heaven. But it definitely was a fall in love at the park. Coming home to watch it on TV, I feel like I can just be my real self when I'm watching the game. Like, I can say what I'm actually thinking. Versus when I'm at the park, I try to, you know, hold it together, act like a lady, not do too much. Unless it's the postseason.
Sure.
Postseason, all bets are off.
Yep.
All language is, you know, hey, keep the kids at home. But at home, I really feel like I can just, you know, and so I really enjoy that too. And I love, you know, just the relaxation of my little baseball sanctuary. And, you know, but like I said, the park is definitely my first love for sure.
So I got to ask you a question then. A lot of times when I try to get fans or friends to be fans, take them to the ballpark, you buy them the first round of beer, make sure they're all nice and loosed up. Like, yo, what do you think? And it hit me with almost like the knife in the heart. And they go, I don't know, man. It's kind of boring. Like, why do people think baseball is boring then? And what can we do to
because
help?
Because they don't understand it. It's because it's a slower game. Like, a lot of people grew up football fans, grew up basketball fans, and those are high-intensity, high-action sports. It's like, you can't sit down. Like, you're going this way, that way. And for me, now, basketball is cool. Football, for me, I don't understand. And I have tried. I have tried for years to get into football, and it's just like, it's just too much going on. It's too many people. And why are y'all intentionally trying to kill each other? Like, I just personally can't get into football and really enjoy it. Now, with baseball, it's so much space. You can see each individual player, each person's position. It's not, you're not going to miss anything unless you're, you know, taking a nap. Sure. So, and it's a calmer game that you can sit. Well, like, I like to be able to talk to my friends when we go out and do stuff. So you can sit here and have a conversation while also watching the game. Now, have I been to a boring baseball game? Yes, I have. I absolutely have. I mean, I've been to some games, and not even boring. It's where your team is getting straight dragged and there is no hope for a return. Now, usually that doesn't happen with the Braves because y'all know, you know, we come back every single time.
As a dynasty, you can't knock it. Yeah.
Keep it high intensity for us. But I can understand it for, like, Mets fans, you know, being bored down.
Wow. You could pick any team in the league.
I just
you're right, though.
But I can understand, you know, how some other fans can be bored at the park. I mean, I've been a little spoiled because the Braves have really been coming into their own as I've been on this baseball journey with them. So I might have a, you know, skewed sense of baseball being super fun. Yeah. Possibly. I might need to get a little bit more exposure so I can really give you a full assessment. But I really do think it's because they don't understand what's going on. Now, why they don't understand what's going on, I don't know. I feel like baseball is the simplest sport to learn. Sure. Matter of fact, I'll take back. Basketball might be the simplest. Basketball might be number one, then baseball, then football. I'm like, I mean, hella people understand football completely. Like I said, I don't, but hella people do. So I don't know what is so complex about baseball that they're just like missing it. And like I said, maybe it's because it's just slower and they're just looking for that high intensity. But it's also not for everybody because everybody's not chill and laid back and relaxed. So when people tell me that they think it's boring, I'm like, okay. I mean, it's already 42,000 people at the park. I don't need anybody else. You know, we're not asking, you know, too many more people to come. Like, sure. Just a few more of us, we can come. But we're not asking everybody and their mama to just be baseball fans now. It's already a fight at Truist, at all the ballparks I've been to, you know?
Right. Well, yeah. Atlanta is a major city, or the metropolitan area is a major city. And so I guess this question does affect you, but not as much as, say, like Colorado or so, some past guests we had about the makeup of the fan base. It seems that it's a cross-section of Atlanta. I mean, last year they had Outkast bobblehead night, which is always a good, dope idea. Do you feel like the fan base is as diverse as it looks like from the outside in?
Now.
Okay.
This is a question. We might have to cut this out. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like the Braves do a really good job of displaying diversity. So is that actually what the fan base is? I mean, I don't personally run the numbers, but I mean, from being in the park you know, no. And that's, you know, part of why I create the content that I create is to help us, because it's one thing to see it from the big giant, you know, because it's like, I mean, we all know how marketing works essentially, but right. It's another to see it from a regular degular, you know, person. And I consider myself very much regular degular. So, you know, I think it could be better, you know, and I think we could have more exposure because, like I said, I might not have even said yet, but I didn't grow up a baseball fan. Mm-hmm. I'm from Augusta, Georgia, and we have the Augusta Green Jackets, but baseball was not pushed in the community at all.
Right.
Like in schools, and I mean, somebody else from Augusta can come try to correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure everyone would agree baseball was not the thing. And a lot of our communities, I mean, it's just not huge. It's not, you know, and we don't see ourselves on the field like that either. So,
right.
And it's not really because, you know, I don't know. It's not because minorities aren't included, because it's a lot of minorities. It's just not, you know, African-American, you know, that are heavily into baseball, heavily like on the field and stuff. And it's a sport that a lot of demographics are priced out of.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a lot of layers to this, you know?
Right,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I guess the next question is like, you know, I've seen your platform grow because I've been lurking for a bit, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like I'm kind of jealous of the come up, you know what I'm saying? in a good way. It's a good jealous. Like, oh, we need more of that, you know what I mean?
In the come up, we are not the come up, trust me.
But I know because you have like, oh, I got X amount of followers, but I feel like that if we search for Black baseball fans, your account comes up, which is worth its weight in gold. A search engine result is worth its weight in gold in this digital informational era. And you'll get more fans and followers and all that. But I always felt like MLB, whether it's performative or not, have displayed more Black and brown faces and promotional materials and marketing and other Negro League teams are in MLB The Show. When I go to the game itself, I live here in Los Angeles, and of course I'm a Mets fan, and I've been to Arizona a couple times. It always feels like that we don't show up. And I don't know why that is. Maybe that's a question that's for another time. But I do think that MLB is trying. What would you say on a scale of, I don't know, maybe, yeah, not so maybe?
MLB as a whole?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
Fair enough.
I don't see us pushed in MLB as a whole. Now, I've seen our faces show up a lot through the Atlanta Braves. But as far as, like, I know we got AJ Andrews on MLB Network. But you know,
sure.
I don't know, you know, I mean, I haven't seen it like pushed a lot. And I mean, we always could say it could be more. I try to like, you know, I have to remind ourselves of the percentage of the population and the this and the that, but that's not my level of expertise either. So me personally, I don't see it just as much as you don't see it, but we're there and we're at home and.
Yeah.
You know, it's a work in progress, really. It's really a work. I just for the first, technically the first time, because not even the point, but for the first time yesterday, I was spotted at the ballpark by another Black girl, and she was just like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And so it was just like the world's best feeling because, you know, she was so happy to see us there and to, you know, she wanted to come out. She was telling us, like, she wanted to come out to the park just like how she sees us out at the park. And she was bringing her brothers, and her one of her brothers is in Little League. She brought the whole team to a ball, to the Braves game, just so they could get more exposure and get the full experience and all that stuff. And then for her to see us too, after, you know, following us for I don't know how long, but on TikTok, she was just super excited. And so, like I said, I was too. I was just like, this is, you know, why I'm trying to do this, like that reaction and the reaction of people in the comments on TikTok is like, I mean, it's overwhelming, really.
Yeah. Okay. So the first time someone recognized you, I'm not saying this was the first time, but the first couple of times, was that weird or awkward? Was it like, oh, you mean me? You don't mean somebody else? Or was it like, heck yeah, that's the plan. That's the mission. Like what?
So the first time I was spotted was somebody who, a Black girl who works at the bar in the ballpark. That's why I said she doesn't count. Because you work there, so you were bound to see me. The second time I was spotted was by a white woman who asked me, are you the baseball girl from TikTok? And I'm like, yeah. But at the time, I didn't used to tell people my name. So it was just so cute that's how she, you know, found me or whatever. And I was actually live streaming when she walked up to me. That was just insane. And like I said, last night, it was just, I just felt so, you know, it just really touched me. I was just like, oh my God, this is just amazing. But it doesn't feel awkward because, I mean, I anticipated, you know, being spotted at some point since I'm doing this, you know, so much. But I already anticipated somebody recognizing me. And I'm not, I mean, it's hard to miss me. I'm 5'9", you know, black girl in the ballpark. I'm always like super dressed up, like, you know, braids down. So I did anticipate being spotted someday. I didn't know it was going to happen as fast as it did last season. But, you know, I find it fun, but I'm also an outgoing person. So it could be weird for somebody who's more, you know, reserved and shy. I'm just like, hey, you know, always talking to people at the ballpark anyway, which is a whole other thing. But I mean, people are always like, you know, talking and telling you their life story. And, you know, you make friends from everybody you're sitting around and, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah. Talk to me about the day job. Is it like Batman where they don't know what you do at night or they know that you're a content creator? Or?
Oh, no. Well, you mean does my job know I'm a content creator?
Yeah. Do you talk about like what you do on the TikTok, the work and all that?
So my job, I actually do content. I do have like a Batman type vibe. I'm two different people. Black Girls Love Baseball, and I'm also Mamma Mia. And so Mamma Mia went viral, way bigger than Black Girls Love Baseball, a while ago because I post my kids with my mother-in-law, and it was just the cutest thing in the world. So my job actually saw that content because it went super viral. So, well, not super, but, you know, super viral is like relative, whatever. But right, it got a few million. So that happened, and, you know, people at my job was like, oh my God, I saw the kids, and boom. I'm like, okay, well, now y'all know, you know, I do this type of content too. So, yeah, I do have a regular day job. I'm an accountant, and it's nothing exciting about that, really. But
it's exciting. You know,
oh, okay. Well,
yeah. I disagree, but no, I'm saying it's just
like, oh, okay.
Well, side of me, yeah.
Me personally, I'm just like, you know, it's whatevs, but it's right. What some people feel about baseball, honestly. But, you know, but yeah.
Real talk. And do you have a certain kind of like calendar you try to hit certain kind of marks, or it's kind of like, oh, I'm going to go to a game. What I get is what I get. And I'm going to slice it up. Like, what's the approach when you decide to harvest content?
So last season, it was very random. This season, I am more calculated. So I do have a plan. I'm not going to give away my whole plan right now.
Sure.
Whatever. But this season, I am prioritizing. One thing people can always expect, though, is that I will be at bobblehead night. So last night was the first bobblehead night of the season, which actually people expected me to be at home opener, which I, up until this year, I have not missed a home opener in about 7 years, but my grandma passed away and her funeral was on home opener. So had to miss it this year. And it just is what it is. But I was at the game last night, which was the first bobblehead giveaway of the season. And so, yeah. I was like, they can definitely, everybody knows that already though. They can definitely expect to see me at the bobblehead giveaway. I'm a huge, obvious, you can only see a few.
Right.
Probably. Maybe about 11 of the, maybe probably about 50 or so now.
It was also Hank Aaron night that night, I believe, right?
Yeah, last night. And so that is why, I don't know if you even know that, but on Instagram, we are Black Girls Love Baseball 44 because Black Girls Love Baseball wasn't available. So I had to throw something in there and like, why not pay homage to Hank Aaron? We love Hank Aaron. So we are BGLB44 on Twitter, Black Girls Love Baseball 44 on Instagram. And then I got Black Girls Love Baseball, just Black Girls Love Baseball on TikTok. But we love Hank Aaron. You know, we have to support Hank Aaron. They had Billy out there. They had his grandkids out there. I mean, it was a really beautiful night.
Yeah. I mean, they had the grounds crew had the seven in the grass, like the home run total.
Yeah. 7:15 in there. They had A-list members like on the field for the pregame show holding up a baseball with the number home run it was and the date on it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I wanted one of those baseballs, but I'm not an A-list member. I need to be, but
yeah.
They had so many cute things. And I took, actually, when you said you did the tour, I did the tour yesterday because they were giving away the Hank Aaron chain.
Oh, yeah.
And so I only booked this $32 tour because I didn't need a tour, but to get this chain. So I was super excited. But on the tour, I just learned so much anyway about the ballpark stuff and saw the very, very, very expensive for the rich club that I had never seen before. I've seen the Delta Club. I've seen the Xfinity Club. Those are for regular and, you know,
the regular rich.
The regular rich. It's for the well off, the regular rich, and then it's the rich, which is the Truest Club. And I had never been in there. And so I went in and I was like, oh my God, like somebody needs to invite us down here one day. But yeah, so we saw all that. We went through the Hank Aaron Terrace. I didn't even know that they had the ball, his home run ball that he surpassed the record with, and the bat that he used inside the Hank Aaron Terrace. And they said for years, people offered him so many millions of dollars for that ball and bat, but he would never give it up. He said he wanted it to stay with the Atlanta Braves fans. And I just thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah. And I did, I got the bobble. I was going to announce my surprise, but I might save it. I should announce it here or there, but I do have a big surprise. Last season we did bobblehead giveaways. Okay. So every time I could get, I do have friends that would come with me that do not care about bobbleheads. And they would be like, sure, I'll donate to BGLB. Donated to me, and I would do big giveaways to, you know, let especially Braves Country, who is not in Atlanta, who doesn't have access to come to games, get this bobblehead. So we do all these fun things. And so I do have a huge surprise for my TikTok following about the bobblehead giveaways this season.
Oh, respect. Yeah, you gotta follow that channel and learn more about that. In fact, my buddy George is a big Dodger fan, will call me up like, yo, I know the Dodgers that much, but it's bobblehead night, and I would just go to be a body to take out a bobblehead and give it to him. So.
Look, a real friend does.
Exactly. Yeah. So you said you want to go to Old 30, but have you been to other parks as well as of now? And then what so have you been to?
So I've been to Minute Maid Park in Houston for Braves when they were in the World Series in 2021. And I went to Dodger Stadium last season. And then I've been to a couple of spring training facilities. I did this year. I did the Toronto Blue Jays spring training facility, Twins spring training facility. Of course, I've been to the Braves spring training facility. But those are the only ballparks that I have been to. And I really, really, really want to get to a lot more. Now I feel like I have to go to Citizens Bank just because the Phillies fans told me I'm not welcome.
Absolutely, you got
to
go.
So I said I feel like I need to go there. I was planning on going to Yankee Stadium in June, and I posted about it, and literally everyone said, do not go to Yankee Stadium, only pull up at Citi Field. Yankee Stadium's food is trash, the fans are rude. I said, yikes. I mean, I didn't know, you know, I had no clue. I would have thought Yankee Stadium would have been the pinnacle of like baseball fandom.
If you want, I understand that I'm a Mets fan, so you're not going to take my thing completely objective. I would say Truist and Yankee Stadium are the best museums in baseball. But the problem with, unlike Truist, which tries to put it inside of a ballpark, it feels like Yankee Stadium is a museum first with a ballpark in the back. It's like so much history. You're like, wow, like it's a giant hall. It's like in the National History Museum. So a lot of the vibes don't really match. My brother doesn't like baseball at all. Last summer, I took him to all three. I took him to Citi Field, took him to Yankee Stadium, I took him to MCU Park, Mamamoo's Park, where the Cyclones play. And he's like, the food's better at Citi, the sideline's better at Citi, but at Yankee Stadium, he felt like he was part of something bigger because of the museum elements.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have, I feel like, the most history and the most, you know, so that's why I would imagine. I mean, well, yeah, I will still, like, it's still on the list. I don't know if it's at the top because, I mean, they really just, like, kind of killed it for me. But, I mean, you should go look at that post. I literally just was like, where should we go next? And it would be, like, the first official group trip because I did the other two solo, well, not solo, but one I was with my husband, the other one I did solo. And so I was like, it would be a group trip, like, all the girls, like, would travel with me to go. So we need to figure it out. And I mean, it's a lot to plan because once I posted about it, so many other people are like, I want to go. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's going to turn into a bus trip. But
oh, might as well.
Yeah, right.
So, food isn't bad at Yankee Stadium. It's just the value isn't there. You pay like 1.5 as much for the same food at Citi Field. So people go, what the hell? Kind of a thing. But do you go by yourself typically? Do you go with a group? Do you go with the husband? Do you go with the girlfriends? Like what's the usual mix when you roll up?
I'm usually with my friends, and I just recently dabbled into the solo tripping because, like, when I wanted to go to spring training, it was very last minute, so I had to go by myself. When I went to LA, I actually met some people out there, some family out there, but I, you know, traveled and stuff by myself. But usually I like to go with a group. Going solo is perfectly fine, but at my home ballpark. So going to away stadium by myself, I'm just, when I say I'm never doing it again, I have to be prepared because, like I said, other fans are not as nice as Braves fans. So I'm just, but all the times I've been solo at Truist Park, at Cool Ray, I'm sorry, not Cool Ray, Cool Today, I've had a great time. So, you know, I don't know, but I'm
Well, I've only been to, well, if you count Truist, I'm not, because some people don't really count ballpark tours. I do. I've been to 19 of them. And I would say fan bases, the worse the team is, the better the fan base. They're like, yeah, we know we suck. It's cool. Like in Denver, because I got, okay, so I was in a commercial last year for MLB. I was in this MLB Play commercial, and it lasts like 6 months. So I'm not trying to flex. But I got recognized in Denver, but it was like the best party ever. They're like, oh, man, you want a beer? Have a good time. Like, hey, you know? You roll up to Arlington at a Braves game, and I was wearing my Mets hat. But I try to wear a Mets hat, the same color as a home team. Yeah. So it was a red Mets hat. They're still like, what are you doing here? You suck. You should wear a Mets hat. Oh, it was a terrible thing. I was like, y'all on the road. Why are y'all coming at me? But yeah, every family is cool, man. I love it.
That's hilarious. But no, I definitely want to get to more parks soon because so many people ask me, have I been there? Have I been there? Or I should go here. So I definitely want to get to as many parks as I can as soon as possible. But it's just a lot.
Yeah, you've been to Gwinnett, correct, or no?
Yeah, I just did that. I just went out there to see the Gwinnett Strikers, and I was impressed. Honestly, I didn't know what to expect for a minor league team. I just was like, I mean, obviously, it's the Braves, so I knew it was going to be of some quality, but it was a lot more than I expected, especially with the food. I was like, I mean, y'all have got some almost better food than we got at Truist out here. Like, what's going on? But it was super nice. So I was like, I definitely need to get back out there and go to some games this season.
Absolutely. I got to give a shout out to the Dad Hat Show. I usually only have MLB caps, but he put me on to minor league teams. I'm wearing the San Antonio Missions. I'm like, it's an addiction now. So I'm getting ones every week. I know they changed the AA Braves team, changed their name to like the Rome Emperors. I might get a cop. It's like a penguin now. So
I don't even know.
Yeah. The double A team, I think it's called the Rome Emperors. Like, they play in Rome, Georgia, I believe.
I know they play, but I feel like they always just say Rome. I didn't even know what the
it was. I think it was a Braves team. I think it was the Rome Braves for the long time.
Oh, okay.
So but they changed this year to like the Emperors. And
they used to be the Gwinnett Braves, and then they changed to the Stripers.
Right.
Maybe they all just needed their own identity, but I didn't know what they were.
I think that's where baseball's going. I mean, there's like certain teams like the Syracuse Mets for now, but I think most teams are now just getting these like other identities to make it more marketable and stuff that. Yeah. But yeah, the minor league thing is a whole different thing. A lot more fun, a lot more food centric because they know they need you to come back. You know?
Yeah.
That's what's up. But as the season rolls on, do you have any goals for the page? Or is it kind of a take week by week or just kind of just like certain numbers you want to hit or what's the vibe?
Well, definitely not numbers. I'm definitely looking at following for monetization. I do want to get to that space. So that's my goal to hit 10,000 followers on the TikTok. Now, for everything else, it's just, you know, it can just grow as we go. Like Twitter, I've never been a huge, I don't even know what you, it's not Twitter, it's X. I don't even know what you call it on X anymore, but like putting little X memos on there. I've never been like super good at that. So I'm really trying to get into understanding the algorithm, understanding like, you know, just what I want to put out on X because, you know, that's pretty much all written. I do a few pictures, but, you know, pretty much all written. Yeah. And Instagram, I'm trying to diversify each platform. So you're not getting the same thing on every platform. And that is a lot more difficult than it sounds. I don't know. It's a lot harder than it sounds. TikTok, I don't know. It just came so naturally to me just to make TikToks and have fun on TikTok. But to try to like understand like what Instagram, because Instagram followers want to see something completely different than what TikTok followers want to see. They're trying to like mash them together with like Instagram reels now, but it's definitely not the same audience. Like there are different people on Instagram than there are on TikTok, essentially.
From my intake,
it's just the response. So like I said, I am two different people on multiple platforms. And so you just get a different response, like a different definitely a different level of support on TikTok. People are just more inclined to talk to you, to follow you, to engage with your content. On Instagram, people are looking and they may like, but people are just not as inclined to like engage with your content like they do on TikTok. And I don't know if it's because, you know, Gen Z is mainly on TikTok, millennials are mainly on Instagram. I mean, that probably definitely plays a factor. And Gen Z is a whole, I mean, they have a whole different outlook on social media, period. So they interact and they move through social media and page following and engagement just differently. And I mean, it's cool. I am a seasoned, not seasoned, but, well, yeah, actually I am. I'm seasoned millennial and I had to learn TikTok. And it's just different. I grew up on Facebook and kind of Instagram. I'm still trying to get, you know, to figure out. I'm still trying to figure out Instagram. I'm not really, you know, wholly there. And even with not even just the people, the powers that be that are running these platforms, TikTok, they expose you to random people.
True.
Pretty much every time you post, from my experience, pretty much every time you post, unless you break the rules essentially and they, you know, ban you from the For You for that post, they are exposing you to a potential fan base. Whereas on Instagram is usually exposing you to the people that follow you. Mm-hmm. And how can more people follow you if they don't see you essentially? Right. So it's just two different, things.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool perspective. Thank you so much for that. Because I know a lot of times it's like, what is the difference? You're like, well, I don't know. Because you see creators pop off on TikTok. Some just try to go straight to YouTube. Some just strictly podcast. It's like, everyone's trying to figure out what works for them. So your insights, it's like, it's invaluable for sure. Yeah. A friend of mine told me you're going to be in the show. So I have to ask this question. Okay. It's not me. Don't call me a hater. I'm just a journalist. I'm just asking questions. Hot take. Blooper is a ripoff of the Philly Fanatic. Please discuss.
Blooper is not a ripoff of that booger.
Ew.
Of booger. Blooper is not a Blooper is his own guy, and he's cool. And he has a very dynamic Atlanta personality. Okay. Blooper is cool. The Fanatic, I haven't paid him enough attention either. I mean, he just doesn't give personality for sure. He just gives a mascot. Like Blooper has a personality. Like you can talk to Blooper. Oh, I don't know. Does the Fanatic have a Twitter?
I'm not sure. I don't I wouldn't know.
He might have a Twitter. I have to look into that. I actually don't know if he has a Twitter, but like Blooper is interactive. Like we love Blooper. Don't call Blooper a ripoff. Tell your friend. Like, hey.
I like how you're like, oh, that booger, I don't know him. That's cold. That is cold.
Why you gotta be like I can't that? With the Philly fans, and they already know what it is with me. They're probably gonna try to drag me through this, but
yeah. I guess the last playoffs was pretty rough for you then.
I mean, straight brutal. I don't even know if I mentioned, but I didn't start live streaming on TikTok until the postseason. Well, right at the end of the season, postseason last year. And you know, I was having a good time with it or whatever until, you know, we were up against the Phillies. And those fans, I mean, they straight drugged me for filth for months, especially after the loss. I mean, they were just getting in my comments. Like, somebody actually just recently, just a couple weeks ago, they're still kind of trolling me, but commented some random date. I'm like, what is this? What does that even mean? So I Google it. And it's the date that we lost the NLDS to them last year. And I'm just like, you people just will not leave me alone. I mean, unacceptable. But I mean, I guess it was warranted. I was, you know, talking regular trash though. I'm like, it's we're on live at the game. Like, of course we're gonna have to talk a little trash. Y'all have to troll me for months, you know, about us losing and saying we own you and all this stuff. I'm like, please. And then it's almost just like you guys are getting off on this way too much to not even have won at all. Now, if y'all won it all, I would concede. I would concede if y'all won it all. Y'all got kicked out by the D-backs. The D-backs. I mean, and nobody, I didn't even see that coming. Nobody saw that
coming. I did. I called it last June and no one believed you back then. Did? I did. I was like, okay, the stick's going all the way.
Nobody told. And I'm telling you, though, I didn't, honestly, watching that, I didn't feel like the D-backs had the juice to mm-hmm. knock out, the, especially going back to Citizens Bank. I'm like, I don't think they got it. But they showed me. So, and that's when I'm like, I don't think the Phillies fans should have all that bass in their voice.
Yeah, yeah.
After losing like that. But, you know, hey, I'm like, y'all, you can have some bass over taking down the big giant, the Atlanta Braves. But getting knocked out by the D-backs afterwards is like,
it's kind of lame. But yeah. It's funny because, like, on Black Baseball Mixtape, that was kind of the thing I was known for. Because last June, I called the D-backs, and I was like, what, are you crazy? And they went far, and it was like, yo, Flo Stradamus, how'd you know? And I was like, well, they act like the Phillies of the year before. And I also like the fact that NL East has a three-way hatred of each other. It's like New York, Philadelphia, and Atlanta just getting this giant fight. And no one cares about Washington or Miami. But that's
pretty we don't. That's pretty I take it back. That's not true. I have permanent beef with Miami.
Permanent beef? That's the worst kind.
Permanent beef because all those intentional hits against Ronald really scarred me for life. Anytime, it don't matter who it is, even if it's an accident, it could have been the biggest accident in the world, and it still is going to feel like we should all storm the field and fight y'all. Yeah. But because nobody got swung on during that whole ordeal, and I felt like someone should, but they didn't. And you know, they just, yeah, it's permanent beef. It's nothing against the Miami fans. I have nothing against the Miami fans, but the team. The pitching, permanent beef.
Usually the opposite. Usually like the team's all right, but the fans suck. But you're saying
no, I have nothing against the Miami fans. They're fine. They have done nothing to me. They are fine. They're always actually really quiet, minding their business. Actually, I don't even know if I even know any real Miami fans.
That's what I realized going to Florida, man. I feel like people who go to Florida baseball games have another team. If they're from the north, they have a northern team. If they're from Florida, they like the Braves. They just go because it's close.
Braves.
It's all. Well, before we get out of here, man, I got a couple of quick questions for you, kind of like a lightning round. You know, let's just be down. I mean, answer the first thing that comes to your mind. Whatever you're feeling. I won't ask any blooper questions. It's all right. Or Philly Fanatic questions.
Okay.
All right. So, who was your favorite player when you first started watching the game?
Freddie Freeman.
All right. Oh, he's a classic guy. I like him too. Yeah. Who's your favorite player now?
Ronald Acuña Jr.
Really? Okay. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I saw the pictures with Michael Harris on the social.
I mean, I was going to be your dude. But I'll just tell you a quick story. I know it's supposed to be a lightning round. Back in 2018, right after Ronald got called up to the bigs, I was walking through Walmart after I bought some stuff for my birthday party. I'm not even going to checkout, but I'm walking past checkout. I look up, and it's definitely Ronald standing in line, checking out, getting juice and whipped cream and all kind of stuff. And I'm just like, I know damn well that's not Ronald standing right there. And I looked down at his leg, and he had a brace on his knee because he had got injured in Boston. Soon after he got called up, he got injured. He hurt his knee real bad, so the team was out of town, but he's still on Cobb Parkway, just casually in Walmart buying groceries. Wow. And I definitely went up to him and was like, because, you know, he didn't speak any English at the time. This is like right, he speaks some now, but he didn't speak any back then. And so I hold up his Instagram, and I'm like, this is you. And he's like, yeah. And so I was like, can we take a picture? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm freaking out, and I'm taking selfies. And so then he finishes checking out and leaves. And then the checkout lady is like, who the hell was that? I'm like, girl, you are out of your mind. This is going to be the king of Atlanta. You don't even know what's going on. But of course, I mean, of course you didn't, right? Because, I mean, he just got called up, and you wouldn't know unless you were heavily in it like I was. But
right.
So I definitely scammed and like took a little video of him because I was like, nobody's gonna believe this. Sure. And then of course I got the selfies or whatever, but they're that's why Ronald is. I mean, we've been connected like this since. So
this whole time I thought Cooney had Target money, but respect, man. Shopping Walmart, the common man. I like that. I'm the same way.
You didn't even not read his story in his Players Tribune. It took me like 30 minutes. I might be a slow reader. It is a very long read. Well, not very long, but it did take me. It's not like a quick little paragraph, but you should go read his story because, I mean, it really touched me and it just really made me be like, I mean, you came from the trenches and here you are now. So, yeah, definitely a good read. Check that out.
All right. Well, I had Michael Harris because I'm wrong. He's all right, but Acuña is a dude. I'll definitely check it out.
He's definitely in my top. My top three. Or he might be top two. It's Ronald, Ozzy, then Mike.
Okay. Yeah. Good thing. Where do you like to go after a game?
If I'm staying in the Battery, I probably go to Live at the Battery, or Feast in the Battery, which is just random, but usually Live at the Battery for like the party vibes. Or if I'm outside of the Battery, across the street at this bar called Doc's. And it's a real rundown place, but the vibe in there is unmatched. So, yeah.
What's the best thing for you what's the best thing you eat in the park? Like, what's the best thing to get?
All right. So the best food in the park is in the Chop House. And that's hands down. I don't care what nobody says. The best food is in the Chop House. But the Chop House is the Chop House. So it's like one specific location on right by the Chop House gate, which, I mean, depending on what side of the ballpark you're on, you're not going to want to walk all the way over there. So second up is the Slice, which is the pizza. That pizza is delicious. So
You gave it 100 out of 10 the last time. And lastly, if someone is coming to Truist for the first time, where do you suggest they sit?
Wait, say that again?
If someone's coming to Truist for the first time, where do you suggest they sit?
Well, it depends on how much money you got.
Where do you sit?
Well, I like to sit in the 200 sections, usually probably between like 213 all the way around to probably like 240-ish. So it's like, I personally don't like being on the 100 level unless, you know, I got real somebody, you know, tried to bless me with some Truist Club tickets that I just sat in on the tour. I hope you got to sit in them too. I mean, I have to show the picture. I haven't even posted the picture of that view from yesterday, but it was sick. If I was sitting right there, I mean, I wouldn't know how to act. But the times I have sat on the 100 level, I didn't really enjoy it. I like being up a little high. I can't do 300 and 400, personally. 300 is not bad. 400 makes me sick. But I like my happy place is on the 200 level. And it's like right between first base all the way around the third base. If I'm somewhere right there between first and third base, I'm happy. Yeah. I'm not a big outfield girl. Maybe because I can't see. I feel like I just can't see enough, and I just don't feel, you know, close enough.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure I figure that out myself. Like, I've tried to sit different places. I don't really have a favorite one. I would say it's similar to you. The one time I was like, "Yeah, this is it." I was at like a guaranteed rate club level. I think it's 300 for them, but same thing. Elevated, looking over between first baseline, just vibing.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, man. Vince, hanging out here in the booth. If somebody wanted to connect with you, follow your pages, how to go about doing that?
Okay, well, first on TikTok, you can follow us at Black Girls Love Baseball. On Instagram, you can follow us at Black Girls Love Baseball 44. On Twitter, you can follow us at BGLB44 because the characters were too long for the whole name. And then, if you're on my TikTok and if you like really want to get into it with us, go to my TikTok, look at the link in my bio, download the app O, and join our group chat because it's like a Discord app. I know you said you guys have a Discord app, which I'm actually going to join, but we partnered with this new app O. And so like we started this group chat, I think we have like 65 members-ish in there now. And we just like all talk trash, just all fans. It's not just Braves fans, it's all fans. And it's like playing games on there and, you know, talking smack and reporting on the news and whatever the hot gossip, you know, we're going crazy with all the Shohei Ohtani gossip. So yeah.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani, what do you do now? I'm just kidding. BGLB is for everyone, you know. Make sure you follow them on all those social media channels, man. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'll get you back on a future episode just to chop it up again.
Okay, yeah, no problem. I'm happy to do it.